by coating pushpebhya from the flowers, eva, like that, arthabandhu, O friend of the distressed, Shivaya, for welfare, of us, Kirtaya, kindly describe, Tirtha, pilgrimage, Kirte, of glorious. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Maitreya, O friend of the distressed, the glories of the Supreme Lord can alone do good for people all over the world. Therefore, just as bees collect honey from flowers, kindly describe the essence of all topics, the topics of the Lord. Please repeat after me. O Maitreya,
O
friend of the distressed,
the glories of the Supreme Lord
can alone do good for people
all over the world.
Therefore,
just as bees collect honey from the
flowers,
kindly describe the essence of all topics,
the topics of the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are many topics for different persons in different modes of material nature, but the essential topics are those in relationship with the Supreme Lord. Unfortunately, materially affected conditioned souls are all more or less averse to topics of the Supreme Lord because some of them do not believe in the existence of God and some of them believe only in the impersonal feature of the Lord. In both cases, there is nothing for them to say of God. Both the non-believers and the impersonalists deny the existence of all, deny the essence of all topics. Therefore, they engage in topics of relativity in various ways, either in sense gratification or in mental speculation. For the pure devotees like Vidura, the topics of the both the mundaners and the mental speculators are useless in all respects. Thus, Vidura requested Maitreya to talk of the essence only, the talks of Krishna, and nothing else. Tadasya kousha rava sharma datur hare katha meva katha susaram udhritta pushpibha ivartha bandho shivaya nakir tayati thakirte. O Maitreya, O friend of the distressed, the glories of the Supreme Lord can alone do good for people all over the world. Therefore, just as bees collect honey from flowers, kindly describe the essence of all topics, the topics of the Lord. So, these are just the questions by Vidura to Maitreya Rishi. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna used that expression, Pariprashna. So, a sincere seeker must question sincerely. And that sincere question, earnest questions about the spiritual topic is called Pariprashna. Not just asking questions just for the sake of asking questions, or just ask questions to get some material understanding, but the questions must be in relation to the spiritual topic, and it should be, or they should be, very, very sincere. For one's own, why does one ask questions? One asks questions to clarify something, to understand something. That is what the question is. So, here the topic that we need to understand is the spiritual reality, spiritual topic. So, if we want to know about the spiritual reality,
then we must ask questions about the spiritual subject matter. So that is the process, Parikrishna. So here we are seeing how this question should be. Vidura is asking Maitreya Rishi. Then there are questions by Parikshit Maharaj. And there are questions by Shaunaka Rishi. These are the three main questioners in Srimad Bhagavatam. Suta Goswami appeared in the assembly of the sages, and on behalf of all the sages, Shaunaka Rishi is asking the questions, and Suta Goswami is answering. Parikshit Maharaj, Bhagavatam actually became revealed because of Parikshit Maharaj. Just he was about to die, 7 days he had. And Sukadeva Goswami arrived there and he started to ask questions. Now that I'm going to die within 7 days, what should I do? And so here we are seeing that Vidura is asking Maitreya Rishi the questions. Right, from the first chapter, from the first chapter of the third canto, these are the questions and answers. And so here, what is the question? The question is actually pointing out that there are various types of people with various kinds of interests. They generally fall in three categories: the karmi, jnani, and bhaktas. Karmis, what do the karmis want? Karmis want to enjoy in this material nature. Fruitive activities. The karmis, karmis goal is bhukti. Bhukti means to enjoy the material nature. There, most of the people in this world are like that. Most of the people are karmis. They are working, whatever they do is for their sense gratification. So, but higher than that, the karmis are the jnanis. The jnanis, the word jnani itself indicates the ones, those who want to know everything. But what is the way of knowing? The way of knowing is speculation. And what is the goal of the jnanis through the speculation? What they want to reach, what they want to achieve? Through that they want to finally achieve liberation. For the karmis, bhukti. For the jnanis, mukti, liberation. But then there is another kind of people. Those who know Krishna and who have surrendered themselves to Krishna. And they are called bhaktas or devotees. Karmi, jnani, and bhakta or bhagavat. Who knows the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they are surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or in another word, it can be said karmi, jnani, and sharanagata. One who has taken shelter of the Lord. There is another category also. Anyway, that they haven't been described here. They also fall in the jnana platform, the yogis. What the yogis want? The yogis want siddhi. And by the siddhi they can do all kinds of wonderful things. But they also fall in the same category, karmis, trying to enjoy the material nature by the mystic power. The actual yogi is he who is trying to become elevated to the spiritual platform. They are not interested in siddhis.
So Chaitanya Charitamrita therefore described bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami. Bhukti, who wants bhukti? The mundaners, materialistic people want bhukti. Who want mukti? The mental speculators want mukti, jnanis.
Who, and the yogis, they want siddhis.
Chaitanya Charitamrita says that only Krishna Bhakta is nishkam, therefore he is shanta, peaceful. His heart has become completely peaceful. Krishna Bhakta nishkam, atoeva shanta, bhukti, mukti, siddhi kami, shakuli, ashanta. They are not peaceful, they are perturbed. Their heart is always agitated.
So whether it's a yogi or whether it is a jnani or whether it is a karmi, their hearts are agitated. But a devotee is peaceful.
Why a devotee is peaceful? Because he found Krishna.
Generally, that is how it becomes. When one finds Krishna, then only one becomes peaceful. In physics also, or physical chemistry, in physics there is one interesting phenomena in that respect. It is seen that an electron is constantly moving. Electron is negatively charged. And proton is positively charged. So electron is always moving. Proton is always moving. But when the electron comes in contact with the proton, the electron becomes static. It becomes peaceful. So here, the living entities are like the electrons. They're constantly moving. Looking for something. Do I want this? I want that. Do I want this? Do I want that? But then only when it comes in contact with Krishna, he becomes peaceful. Then he finds, then he is satisfied. I got what I wanted. So just as in inert matter we see the function of electron, from that we can also see the condition of a living entity. Isn't a man always in the material nature, always looking for something? And when he becomes tired of looking, then he says, mukti, I want mukti. But does he get become peaceful? There also he is disturbed, he is perturbed. Then he thinks, well, I'm trying to enjoy, but I cannot enjoy because I don't get what I want. But if I get siddhi, then with the mystic power of the siddhis, I can do all kinds of things. Don't people think that way? Didn't we think that way sometimes before we came to Krishna consciousness? Didn't we think like that? I wish I had a lot of money, then I could get everything. I wish I had this, I wish I had that. But were we ever satisfied? The tendency actually at that time was, I want this, I want this. And I said, no, no, I don't want this. Leave that one, look for something else. I want that, I want that. Look for that. I don't want that. Give up that one. I learned this. So this one constantly is searching for something. Or he's expecting that if I can have this, then I can be, I'll be peaceful. I want a lot of money because with money I can get everything. But does he become satisfied? No. No matter whatever he's searching for, it is like running from one point to another and constantly going on like that.
So that is the condition of a living entity. Just as an electron, frantically moving, you know, here, there, you know. And that movement, when it is channelized in a proper direction, that causes this electricity. The movement of electron is actually electricity. Anyway, it's some energy. But that's not the point that I was making. The point is, and living entities like electrons are constantly moving. But when the electron comes in contact with the proton, then it doesn't move anymore. Then it moves around the proton. It becomes static. It becomes peaceful now. So the living entities are like that. Unless a living entity gets Krishna, he will not be satisfied. A devotee becomes peaceful. He says, well, I got everything. Now I don't need anything. I found Krishna. But that doesn't mean that it becomes just like an electron. Just by coming in contact with the proton, doesn't become static. It moves, but it moves around the proton, and that movement is uniform. So similarly, the living entities do not stop acting, but his action now is to serve Krishna, around Krishna. Whatever he does is for the sake of Krishna. So that is a living entity's condition. And that's why Vidura is pointing out, like in the previous verse, what did he say? Pitiable, pitied and pitiable. Right? Who are pitied? Those who are in a miserable condition. Who do we show pity for? We show our pity for somebody who is in a miserable condition. Oh, look at his pitiable condition. The poor fellow doesn't have anything to eat. The poor fellow doesn't have any money. Poor fellow lost everything. The poor fellow. So that is the pity means for somebody who is in a miserable condition. So when one recognizes, when one looks at it from a higher position, then he offers his pity. So, who are the most pitiable? The atheists, those who don't believe in God, or the karmis, those who are trying to enjoy the material nature. And who pity them? Those who are aspiring for liberation. They think, oh, see, poor guy, just running after so many things. Running after dhanam, janam and sundarim. That's what everybody is running after in the material nature. So he says, oh, see, poor fellow doesn't understand. It's all a waste of time. I am in the right situation. I understood that that's not what is desirable, and the real desirable thing is to become free from all kinds of bondage. But Vidura is saying that a devotee thinks that that person who is aspiring for liberation and has been liberated, devotee pities him also, because he says, look, he didn't get Krishna. What a poor character, didn't get Krishna. The karmis also didn't get Krishna, the jnanis didn't get Krishna. Therefore they are pitiable. But who is in a perfect situation? One who is a devotee of the Lord. Krishna bhakta, nishkam. He doesn't want anything. But bhukti kami, siddhi kami, they have kama, kamana. Kamana means desire. The bhuktigami is one material, the karmi is one material enjoyment, sense gratification. Jnani is one liberation. The yogis want siddhis. But a devotee, he doesn't want. He doesn't have any kamana. It's not that he doesn't have any kamana, he doesn't have any desire. But his desires are the right desires. Therefore he is shanta. And what is his desire? How can I serve Krishna? How can I serve Krishna? And why he is satisfied? Because when he is trying to serve Krishna, Krishna provides with everything. Lakshmi Devi provides with everything. The demigods provide with everything. Because he is serving Krishna, they say, yes, let him have everything. Because he is serving Krishna. And the devotee thinks that sometimes if he doesn't get something, so well, Krishna doesn't want it. That's why I don't get it. Therefore, a devotee has never any room or reason to be discontent, dissatisfied. Because he knows, Krishna is taking care of me, so why should I worry? Just like a child. The child knows that my father, my mother are taking care of me, so why should I worry? And let me just be a good boy. The child thinks that way, a good child. Let me just be a good boy or a good girl. But my parents are there, they are taking care of me. They will take care of me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry where my school fees are going to come from, where my other expenses are going to be maintained. So my father is there, my mother is there, they will take care. So similarly, a devotee's situation is like a child. A child under the care of his parents. And he becomes completely content by taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And does Krishna take care? Does Krishna provide? Sometimes the question, somebody may say, oh no, Krishna didn't give me this, Krishna didn't give me that. Look, I want so much money, Krishna didn't give me money. But a devotee never thinks like that. Rather a devotee thinks, oh, Krishna has given me everything, what do I need? I have enough food to eat. I have enough oxygen to breathe. I have everything. What do I need? What do I lack? If we look at it that way, do we really lack anything? So if we become properly situated, then you see Krishna is providing with everything. And a devotee is satisfied. A devotee is content with whatever he has. Devotee may be very poor, like Sudama Vipra. He was very poor. But he was satisfied. See? Materially he may have been poor. He may not have enough money. And when his wife told that, and wife was probably feeling the pressure because she had to take care of the household. Sudama was happy. But his wife was thinking, oh, my children do not have this, and so she was pushing. Why don't you get something? Why don't you do something? Why don't you get some money? Why don't you? And finally said, why don't you go to your friend Krishna? You always speak about him. And you told me that he is your best friend. And now he has become the king. He is a prince in Dwarka. If he is really your friend, then why don't you go and ask, get some money from him? Sudama Vipra didn't think that, okay, let me go and ask Krishna some money. Sudama Vipra thought, wow, it's a good opportunity to go and meet Krishna. So under this pretext, I'll just go and meet Krishna.
So he agreed. And he went and met Krishna. His wife told him, go and ask him for some money, some material benefit. Yashodhana couldn't go and ask him. He said, how can I ask Krishna for anything? He's given me everything. Whatever I need, I got. Why should I ask for anything else? Rather, Krishna asked him, Sudama, what did you bring for me? And Sudama, at that time, Sudama felt a little embarrassed. Krishna is so opulent. He is living in a palace like such grandeur. And what did I bring for Krishna? I just brought some cheap rice. And he was silent. He didn't know what to say. Krishna, you must have brought something for me. Come on. And then when Sudama was offered, Krishna said, wow, I didn't have chit rice for so many years. Sudama was hesitating that what I got is just some chit rice for flat rice for Krishna. But Krishna was so excited, oh, he brought some flat rice? And he started to eat. Then Rukmini Devi, Mahalakshmi, stopped him. Please don't take any more, because if you take any more, then I'll become bankrupt. Because whatever, when you have taken this from him, now I have become indebted to him. So that is how Krishna reciprocates, Lakshmi Devi reciprocates with devotees. Devotees don't have to worry about anything. But Krishna will provide whatever he needs. And as a result of that, his faith increases. And what is our real need? Our real need is food, our real need is shelter, our real need is oxygen. These are our real needs. But is there any scarcity in that? No. So Krishna is providing. And there will be some scarcity. At the time of death, yes, you will see. He'll be dying for just a little fresh air, a breath of fresh air. And at that time one will feel like, I'm prepared to give everything just for some air that I can breathe. But for a devotee, will that happen? No. At the time of, when he is not able to breathe, when he is not able to sustain his life any longer, then what will happen? Then he will see Krishna standing. So come. All these needs are the needs of the body. Food, what food, drink, air, these are the most important needs, essential needs of the body. But a time will come when we will need that also. Body will not need that. No more breathe. No need to eat anymore. Because we need to eat for getting energy. We need to drink to let the body function. We need to breathe because to keep the soul within the body. But when the soul is leaving the body, then you don't need to breathe, you don't need to drink, you don't need to eat. But what is the soul's need? The soul's need is Krishna. And at that most critical time, Krishna will come. Krishna will come, Krishna will teach you. Or Krishna will send his dutas, his agents, go get this soul to me. Bring him, like Dhruva Maharaj. Krishna himself didn't come, but he sent. his chariot and his lutars. He said, well, Krishna sent you this chariot to go to Vaikuntha. And Dhruva Maharaj just got into the chariot and went back to Vaikuntha. So either Krishna himself will come or Krishna will send somebody to take us to him if we practice devotional service properly throughout our lives. So that is how Krishna takes care of a surrendered soul. So, and that's why Vidura is telling Maitreya Rishi that beyond all that, beyond material enjoyment, beyond liberation, beyond all these different phases, different desires, what is the real necessity of our existence? Krishna, please tell us about him. Which is the essence of all the scriptures? Which is the essence of all the scriptures? The topics of the Lord Prabhupada is saying here. Thus Vidura requested Maitreya to talk of the essence only, the talks of Krishna and nothing else. The essence is Krishna Katha. Others may want other things. They may have other topics to discuss. The mundaners and the mental speculators. They may have other topics, but a devotee is not interested in that. Devotee is only interested in Krishna. Because that is the need of the soul. And a devotee means, pure devotee means who has become situated in his spiritual identity. So for a devotee, the only thing that he needs is Krishna. All of us, what we actually need? We need Krishna. But when you are not mature enough, then we want different other things. I want dhanam, I want janam, I want sundari, I want position, I want this, I want that. But the real need is Krishna. And when one recognizes that fact, then his life has become perfect. Then he sees that I don't need anything. Only thing I need is to serve Krishna, is to please Krishna. So whatever energy I have, let me use it in serving Krishna. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Gaur. Does anybody have any question? Yeah. Krishna there's a difference between Krishna and Drupada. It's not that Drupada didn't recognize. You see, in the childhood, Drupada told him that when I become a king, I'll give you half of the kingdom. I'll share it with you. But when he saw him coming, he thought maybe he's coming to ask for my kingdom. So he pretended that he didn't recognize. That's the difference between an ordinary living entity or not even an ordinary, even an extraordinary living entity like Rupa and Krishna. Krishna is always grateful. He never forgets. If one offers just one tulasi leaf to Krishna, Krishna never forgets. If one wants some water to Krishna, Krishna will never forget. But a living entity being, not. That's where we see, like people, those who have received great favor from somebody, do not remember that. And there lies the greatness of a person. A great person actually will remember. A great person will always remember. There is an anecdote with the life of Elizabeth the First, not the Queen Elizabeth the Second. You see, she had to go at the beginning, she had to go through a lot of trials. I mean, the English history was full of turmoil at that time. There was a turmoil after Henry VIII died. Like, there was a turmoil who would become the successor, Mary or Elizabeth. And Mary was being supported by the Catholic Church, whereas Elizabeth was with the Church of England. Henry VIII, he went against Rome, and he created his own line of religion, Christianity, which is known as the Church of England. And I forgot the name of it. One of the nobility at that time did some favor to Elizabeth. It was something like she was in the prison and she was freezing, it was very cold, and he gave his coat to her to get warm. And then when the plot was unfolded, that you see, the Catholic Church was trying to kill Elizabeth, and that plot was uncovered. And this person, I mean, so everyone was, you know, beheaded or killed. Only this person, although he was involved in that, Elizabeth spared him, because she remembered that you did me some favor at that time. And that person became one of the most loyal followers of Elizabeth. So you see, I mean, anyway, the point is, like, the greatness of a person lies in not forgetting the favor that others have done. Okay, first question. Second question.
My question is, Krishna is fulfilling our needs for the body and of course the needles for Krishna. But for some people, one may have the desire to achieve something, or they may have some ambition. So people who want to achieve things unless their ambitions are fulfilled, they're not satisfied, and they feel that, I mean, their life is meaningless. So does Krishna also have them fulfill that particular need to achieve?
You see, there are two types of people. Those who surrender to Krishna, those who don't surrender to Krishna. Those who are not surrendered, they are conditioned. You see, those people, they have to fulfill their desires by paying the cash. Yes, you want something. If you have some money, you can get that. In a higher level of understanding, it is the piety. Sometimes we see that some people's desires get very quickly fulfilled. We have to understand that they have a lot of piety to their credit. But for a devotee, it is what Krishna wants. Like, Krishna sometimes may give a devotee. Sometimes Krishna will make a devotee a king. Because Krishna knows that that is the best way to engage him and bring him to my lotus feet. So when one surrenders to Krishna, Krishna takes care of him. And whatever happens in his life is Krishna's arrangement. Like Maharaj Bharat, even after giving up his kingdom, became attached to the deer and got the birth as a deer. Now the question may arise, why did it happen to him? The answer is, he surrendered himself to Krishna and Krishna took care of him. Just by giving one birth as a deer, Krishna probably burnt out all his karma. And in next life he is a pure devotee, Jagat. So when one surrenders unto Krishna, he becomes Krishna's property and Krishna takes care of him. And the devotee must have that confidence. Whatever is happening to me is Krishna's divine arrangement. That's why Marovi Rakhovi Joicha Tohara. Whether you want to kill me or keep me, it's up to me, up to you. It's up to you. Speaking about not remembering the favor from others, I remembered another incident. There was a Afghan king called Sher Shah. I don't know whether you are. He was mostly in the eastern part of India. His kingdom was in Bihar, and he extended his kingdom part of Bengal also. So Sher Shah had a feud with Humayun, Babur's son, Akbar's father. So once he was escaping, but he came to the Ganges, and then the soldiers were following, chasing him, and he didn't know how to cross the river. So there was this Bhisti Wala. Bhisti is a leather bag for carrying water. So he gave him his bhisti, you know, instead of water it was filled up with air and sealed it up. And with that he crossed the river and escaped. And later on he regained his kingdom. Right? Although in that battle he was lost, he kind of won the next battle and got his kingdom. And he remembered that bhisti wala, and he made him a king for one day. Can you imagine, just what a carrier, a person who, and you know, he made him a king for one day. So this is how we can see, like, nobilities show up in individuals in this way. There's so many such instances, just I remember it. Okay. Any other questions? There's the third one. You said you have two questions.
Yeah, I am.
From previous days?
No, I am just
starting. Okay.
So, you said that devotee knows that Krishna, whatever is happening to me is Krishna's arrangement. But it is not that the devotee, being humble, thinks that because I am not a devotee, whatever is happening is according to my own karma.
Yes.
So, which is the arrangement? Krishna's arrangement
or
my own karma?
Yeah, good. Devotee thinks that all the good things that happens to him is Krishna's mercy, and all the bad things that are happening to him are due to his karma. And he also knows that it could have been much worse. It was meant to be much worse. But because I have taken shelter of Krishna, Krishna is burning it out with some little touch. Hare Krishna, yes. Prema Bhakti.
The new Bhakti intensity. Is there anything that is Riddhi?
Riddhi. Riddhi is also kind of a mystic power, I think. Mystic. This, yeah. Riddhi, they call it Riddhi, Siddhi. I have to check it, what's the exact meaning of the word Riddhi. But Riddhi is also a kind of mystic power. Yes, Ramana? So when opulence. Huh? Not Riddhi means growth. Riddhi, this is Ri.
I think that when we Riddhi, this is an apogramma of Riddhi.
Anyway, let's not speculate.
Yes, answer. From?
From Pujari Mata.
Okay. Hare Krishna Pujarini.
Then we should not worry for lack of material things. What about when material prosperity comes to you? Why does this happen when we are trying to move away from material life and practice devotional service?
Yeah. So the devotees are not interested in false renunciation. Like if something comes, the devotee accepts it and uses it in Krishna's service. If Lakshmi Devi is giving something, then should he say, "Oh no, no, I don't want it"? Rather, he says, "Well, very good. I'll use it in Krishna's service." And in this respect, Prabhupada said that when the Mayavadis or non-devotees, those sadhus, they are given something, given money, they put their hands at the back and say, "No, no, we don't want money, we don't want money, we don't touch money, we don't touch money." But with us, when somebody gives us money, we take it with our right hand and then we spread a stretch our left hand for some more. So that's the devotee. I'll use everything for Krishna, in Krishna's service. Whenever something is needed, I'll use it in Krishna's service. But I'll take her questions and then I'll take Bhagavad. That was the only question? Okay, Pujarini, is that alright?
Rishikesh is asking.
Who is Rishikesh? Yeah.
Kurumara, does the sadhak devotee have any karma?
Does the?
Sadhak devotee. Have any karma?
You see, sadhaka means he is practicing. He hasn't become perfect. So when he, in that imperfect stage, he is subjected to karmic reactions. But the thing is, because he has taken shelter of Krishna, those karmic reactions will come and go. They won't. Like Prabhupada gave the example of a fan. When the switch, you switch off the fan, a moving fan is moving, you switch off the fan still keeps on moving, but there is no power behind that. So when a devotee surrenders unto Krishna, it may seem that the karmic reactions are going on, and the effects of the karmic reactions are there, but there is no power behind that. It doesn't affect. It's just a motion to come to a standstill position. So, sadhakas or siddhas, when one takes shelter of Krishna, karmic reaction actually goes away. And when one is perfect, siddha, then karmic reactions, he is completely free from karmic reactions. Because since he has become 100% surrendered, Krishna has taken 100% of his karmic reactions away. Thank you, Rishikesh. Hare Krishna. Yes, you have a question?
This question is not directly related to the class. I am in confusion with this question. Like, what actually is dharma? On where did it originate from?
Okay, dharma means the law given by Krishna. So it is the law is given by Krishna, therefore dharma originates from Krishna. Right. To follow Krishna's order, Krishna's law is dharma. Yes, Parul. Ask for service. That, yes, sure. Isn't it natural that the servant will ask the master, "What can I do for you?" When I was serving Srila Prabhupada, every morning I would go and ask him, "What shall I cook for you today? What would you like to have for breakfast?"
right?
I mean, people ask something like we want to do this service, so can you give us this gift?
Yeah, sure. Like we used to ask Srila Prabhupada. But you know, there's no need to ask also, because the arrangements are already there. Like I was just thinking whether I would ask. Say Prabhupada wanted something. Say Prabhupada wanted some orange juice, and there is no orange in the kitchen. I didn't go to Srila Prabhupada and ask Srila Prabhupada, give me some orange for me to make the juice. But I went to the temple president and I said that I need to buy some orange. And he gave me the money, we went and bought that orange. Right? So I didn't have to ask Prabhupada directly, but at the same time, I did not go out and make some money myself to buy the orange. Like the system is there, you know, the temple is there, temple president is there, treasury is there. So I went and took the money and got the orange. You know, we follow a rule here.
Always happen to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And the rule is, next time it happens, we'll confiscate your mobile phone. And we'll throw it out of the window. Hare Krishna.
Can you mention the address
at Kotala? Huh? Yes, I was actually thinking of that also. Generally, these kind of names are derived out of some qualities or from the parentage. Like Sita Devi is called Vaidehi, Janaki. So behind these names, there is some reason. I was also thinking about that actually. Why Maitreya Rishi has been addressed as Kausharava. Anyway, I'll find out and I'll let you know. You have a question? Okay. Yes, Kamina.
And Dastar, we collect honey from flowers. Kindly discuss the essence of all topics. So, how
you call it?
Can you guide
Sri Prabhupada
Goswami
to
explain the
essence or please explain elaborately? Yes, sure. Sure. Can you please explain?
Explain, yeah. Give the essence.
Can you guide Sri Prabhupada to
give you all the essence?
Well, I mean, Vidura is asking, and sometimes the relationship is not exactly like spiritual master and disciple. Like Vidura came across Maitreya as a saintly personality. He's not just treating him as his spiritual master. Of course, respectfully, but not exactly as one treats a spiritual master. So he's asking that there's no need for elaborately giving the understanding. Go straight into the essence. And let's hear so that we can get it clearly. Just as, like the whole Mahabharata is there, but what is the essence? What is the essence?
Bhagavad
Gita. So there is no need to go through this entire Mahabharata. Just go to the essence, even the Bhagavad Gita. Right?
My question is, isn't that if you do something, if you go offense, that you will be
certain? Sometimes don't you say that, well, I understand the thing, but this is the point that I'm not understanding. Right? We can make that approach like that. Like, to save his time and our time, we can say, well, this is what I really want. Just as you go to a shop, there are so many things, and you go straight, I want that, right? The shopkeeper doesn't have to bring all the shop to you, Do you need this? Do you need this? Do you need this? No, I know what I need. That's what I need. Right? Hare Krishna.
In this particular verse, as the translation reads, it appears that Indra is asking that, Indra is saying that the topics of the Lord are the essence of all topics. So he describes that. It's not that he's saying you give me the essence of all topics, but that is describing the glory of the Lord, which is the essence of all topics. It's only an adjective. That is the essence of all topics. It's not that he's telling him that you give me the essence.
That's a good point. Thank you.
Yes.
Very good analysis. How come your chadar is in such a shape? How did you manage it? In Bengal, they wear kurta, Punjabis, and they do a thing called gila. They make it completely crumpled. In a certain two seconds process. I was wondering how you managed that.
Anyway,
the point is dress properly. Okay. Well, that brings back Aniruddha's point yesterday. Did you find out from Gamanayan what's the difference between Brahmavadi and Mayavadi? I was even thinking, 3 days back I actually explained that point, the difference between Brahmavadi and Mayavadi. Where were you? Weren't you in the class? Yesterday you asked about the Brahmavadi and Mayavadi difference. Didn't I explain the Brahmavadi, the difference?
In the beginning of the class, you know.
So he was not there. Even yesterday,
the beginning of the class,
where were you?
I came later.
Or where was your mind? Brahmavadis are the people, those who are spiritualists, who deal with Brahman as the spiritual energy. And as energy, the concept is impersonal. But they know that behind that energy there is an energetic and he is a person. Although they are dealing with that, but then they will come to that point. Right? And just as in Upanishad it has been, Ishopanishad has been pointed out that when you remove that curtain, that is that the curtain of Brahman realization. Seeing the light. The light is actually not allowing us to see Krishna. So when you remove that light, so that's why they are in a positive situation, because from Brahmavad they can go into, they can become devotees, they can understand Bhagavan aspect, they can become personalists. But a Mayavadi, Mayavadis are the people there, we can say they are negative. They are negative impersonalists. Brahmavadis are positive impersonalists. From Brahmavadi one can become a devotee. But for a Mayavadi, Mayavadi's understanding is the Brahma is the ultimate and everything is a transformation of Brahma. Even Narayan is a transformation of Brahman. Avatar is a transformation of Brahman. Brahman became avatar. Right? Avatar is not the Brahman's origin or pratishtha, but they are the products of Brahman. So that is the misconception. Their thing is, due to the influence of the variety is due to the influence of material nature. Brahman, influenced by the modes of material nature, are Vastu, Jiva, and when they are in the mode of goodness, then they become Ishvara, or Narayana. So, Brahman, say today you are a Jiva, But tomorrow when you come to, today you are a jiva because you are in the mode of passion and ignorance. But tomorrow when you come to the mode of goodness, then you will become Narayana. Right? That's why their understanding is everybody can become Narayana, or everybody is Narayana. Especially the sannyasis are Narayana. Why? Because the sannyasis are meant to be in the mode of goodness. So since they are in the mode of goodness, they are Narayana. You see, now you see the difference. Okay. Yes, Anshu?
One more question.
On Lord,
because of
children's
school
challenge,
they are not able to break
fast
and subscribe
time.
What should I do for this?
Alright, don't worry. It's okay, don't worry, Pujarini. That they are observing Ekadasi, Krishna is pleased about that. Krishna is not so particular when they are going to break their fast. And also, How old is Vrinda? If she is below 8 years, then she doesn't have to observe Ekadasi. Up to 8, one doesn't have to observe Ekadasi. She is 9. Okay, so she can observe Ekadasi. Thank you very much for guiding them so nicely. But don't worry so much about her. Whether they are breaking their Ekadasi in particular time. First of all, I would rather say that I'm sorry that yesterday I could not give the evening Krishna Katha, and I could also be there for proper glorification in the evening because I had a meeting with the architect, and that meeting went on till quite late, therefore I had to cancel both the programs. So